Today's daf is daf Yud Beis. Yesterday, we were trying to analyze the implications of our Mishnah for the sugya of Eidut. What would be the maximum time that we could accept as a reasonable margin of error for two witnesses that are contradicting each other? Now, Abaye's analysis yesterday of the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Sanhedrin was based on two assumptions. First of all, that both witnesses could be in error, and that would be acceptable, and that the margin of error would extend only so far as we could determine, or we could interpret their words as meaning the minimum margin. So in other words, if one of them, even though it seems to be saying that there's a two-hour difference between somebody says 3 and somebody says 5, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that by actually it's only a half an hour difference. Because if we assume that semantically one is talking about the end of 3 and one is talking about the beginning of 5, and both of them are making a mistake, and they're only off by half an hour for an event that occurred in the midway point between the 3rd and 5th hour, so then it's a half an hour that we're talking about. Rava responded to that by saying that it makes no sense at all, because if we would have been able to determine in court that in fact one was referring to the beginning of the 3rd hour, and one was referring to the end of the 5th hour, we would have ended up with witnesses that are outside of the margin of error, then there's no possible way that we could accept their testimony in court, because we have a chiyuv to see to it that if there's even a possibility that those witnesses are contradicting each other, then we have to assume they're contradicting each other until proven otherwise in order to be mekayem v'hitzilo eda. We're supposed to save the defendant, not attempt to find the defendant guilty, we're attempting to find him innocent. Therefore, says Rava today,
if not for that, we would say that we would assume that they were not lying. No, people are kosher. Chazaka would be that the witnesses are kosher.
Yeah. Hello, Amar Rava. Therefore, says Rava, I have to make a completely different analysis of the Machlokes. And I would say, according to Rabbi Meir, who is ready to accept the difference of 1 hour, that actually Adam Toesh Teisho, Chosr Mashu, a person can make an error of a little bit less than 2 hours. That margin of error is given to an 8. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who accepted the 3 and the 5, actually that's 3 hours, because we'll have to assume the maximum. One meant the beginning of 3, one meant the end of 5. In which case, according to him, Adam Toesh Shalosh Shor, Chosr Mashu. And you'll notice that Rav is also making the assumption that only one person made a mistake. Because we're not going to be told a mistake on two people. One of them is saying things correctly, and one of them is going to have to be within the maximum range of acceptable error, because otherwise there's no reason for us to assume. We're always going to assume the worst vis-a-vis the AD, not the best, because we're trying to save the defendant. So why would we say that both are within a smaller range of error when we could say that then one of them was outside of the range of error, one of them wasn't in the error? So it follows logically by Rava's assumption that only one of them is making the error, in which case if we're accepting this margin of error, we're going to have to accept the margin of error even for one, because otherwise there'd be no way for us to be told it on two. Why should we? Therefore, Rabbi Meir must be accepting a margin of error of 2 hours, almost, and Rabbi Yehuda must be accepting a margin of error of close to 3 hours. So therefore, the way to analyze the event would be to assume the worst. In other words, Maaseki Havi could have been at the very beginning of the 3rd hour, at the very end of the 5th hour. One of them is right on target, and the other one is 3 hours, close to 3 hours off, and nonetheless is acceptable, because otherwise we'd have to keep pushing this. So one of them is Katar Shaloshot Chasr Mashu, since he's within the margin of error, therefore this testimony is still Mekuyam. That's how to do it. Now, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin learns out, actually from Psukim, that there are a minimum of 7 Chakirot. Now we'll see that Chakirot, as opposed to Bedikot, Chakirot mean what is necessary to pinpoint the testimony in space and time to allow us to be able to prove that the witnesses are liars. Prove, that is to say, not from any internal inconsistencies which can be attributed to error, but prove through hazama of other witnesses coming and saying you couldn't possibly have said what you're saying honestly because you were with us in another location at that time. Therefore, we need to be able to pinpoint location and time. Otherwise, obviously, there's no way for us to be mazin. Since the Torah mentions vedorashta v'chakarta heitev or something along those lines 7 times, Chakira, Bedika, so on. So we learn out that there must be 7 Chakirot. What are those 7 Chakirot? In order to pinpoint the event, we need to be able to tell you, Be'ezo Shavua, what year, what Yovel are we talking about? No, but what Shvi is within the Yovel? Are we talking about the 3rd Shemitah, the 4th Shemitah? So we need to pinpoint the event, first of all, not we don't use centuries to pinpoint, we use 50-year gaps, each one of which is a yovel. So tell me within which yovel. That would be our idea of a century, in other words, the 50-year period. So which one of the Shavuot, which one of the years within the Shemitah, which Be'ez HaChodesh, which month, the Kama of HaChodesh, what day of the month, and Be'ez HaYom, what day of the week was it, and Be'ez HaShaah, what hour in the day was it, and Be'ez HaMakom, precisely where did it take place. Now there may be hundreds of other questions, which are called Bedikot. Bedikot, we would say, okay, describe the weapon. Or what were the landmarks around where he was sitting? What was he wearing? And so on and so forth. Now, Ma Bein, Vitznan, the Mishnah further explains, Ma Bein Chakirot LeBedikot. The difference between a Chakira and a Bedika is that in a Chakira, if either one of the Edim says, Hech Amar Echad Mehem Eini Yodea Edotan B'Teila, the testimony is immediately meaningless, because only testimony that can stand up to counter-testimony is considered to be testimony. We learn that out from the din of Edim Zomimim, so that if witnesses cannot be placed in a position of Hazama by an attack of other Edim upon them, not upon what they're saying, there was Edim Zomimim, they say, we don't have the slightest idea what happened. All we know is that neither do you, because you weren't there. That's all that we're saying. As opposed to Hakasha, where always the witness is open to Hakasha. But they need to be open to an attack on their ability to testify. So if even one of them misses out on any of these questions, it's all over. On the other hand, when it comes to the additional questions, the decode, there we ask them questions in order to catch them in a lie. But if one of the witnesses says, I don't know, it doesn't prove anything. So I didn't notice what he was wearing. So I didn't notice. So what? If he would have told you something different than what the other witness would have told you, fine, then their testimony collapses. But if he tells you, I don't know, it's irrelevant, actually, because it's irrelevant to what they're testifying to.
And then it would be up to the judge to decide whether that's significant.
Well, yes. Actually, it's always up to the judge to decide the possible testimony by getting a sense that these guys are not friendly. So if one of them says, Ein anu yodim edutan kayemet, when it comes, even both of them say, Ein anu yodim edutan kayemet, when it comes to the decode. Now.
Right.
So
at the very beginning, is where it says, one says, but they would have had to say what day, and they're talking about two different Monday day of the week.
No, that's the whole point. They're talking about the same day of the week. As a matter of fact, Tosfos suggests that perhaps that's why we even need to ask what day of the week. Because if they give a similar day of the week, then their margin of error is allowable because of the possibility that one knows it was a Chodesh Chaser, and one doesn't. Mashenkin, if they wouldn't have given the day of the week, why should we give them any benefit of the doubt?
Right.
So we should say that they're just lying.
But alternatively, they say the day of the week. I guess, and that's, so it's not, the day of the week is the same, so then why do they say a different date? Because of
they made it, assuming it's a margin of error.
Right, because the day is also...
Otherwise, he didn't get his story straight. Yeah. The idiot was too stupid to remember to look up the calendar.
And also, my interest is the date early in the month, it makes no difference if you consider the 25th.
That's a question as to whether there's a particular point to which a person should have caught up. But not our assumption, it's an agency. But there's another possibility, actually. I mean, Tosis has a general question. It's a very, very harsh of a question, which is an insight into the nature of Chakirot, which is, if they already told you the day of the month, but if they're now going to give you a different day of the week, we should say that Kivan Shigi Enefos Eino Magidim. If they're now contradicting themselves, why don't we say that the guy suddenly pulled back on his testimony, he wants it to be Mukheshet, and so he's now substituting a different day? Because he couldn't have said anything else. He couldn't have said, whoops, actually I made the whole thing up. He couldn't say that. We wouldn't believe him. So Tosfos says that maybe that's the whole point. In other words, once the Torah tells us the Chakirot, the testimony isn't defined until we have this Chakirot. In other words, otherwise, what is the point of the day? Anyway, you should be considered to be pulling back on your testimony. His alternative was that we need to know the day, not because of the Hakrosha to the day of the week, to the day of the month, but rather in order to provide a basis for the margin of error, because they both say the same thing. Uh-huh. And so, good. In any event, we're about to reach the question. This is all an introduction now, obviously. What does this have to do with our circuit? The problem is as follows. The Gemara asked over there on that mission, of Avinaba, what is the logical difference between the Chakirot and the Dikot? And why is it that Chakirot, they have to answer, and the answers have to be within the margin of error? And when it comes to the Dikot, they could say, we don't know. V'amrin. And the Gemara explained over there that there's a very obvious difference. Chakirot amar chad me'amin yodea. The reason that edutan b'teila is da havila edut shiyat ayokol la'azimah. Because since each and every one of those coordinates is essential to be able to place them in time-space, so there would be no way for us to be mezim. And since the Torah says in the sugya of Azoma, the dorshu ha-shoftim etevi hinei eid sheker ha-eid, that's part of the bit of accepting testimony, is we need to be able to define that eid sheker ha-eid. If you're not giving the option to the shofet to so define, then you don't have testimony. Fascinating idea. Similar to the idea that somebody comes up with a scientific statement that can't be tested, it's not a scientific statement by definition. So it's irrelevant. Their testimony is irrelevant because we have no way of absolutely testing it against anything. Therefore, according to you, and here's where we get to our problem, according to your analysis about margins of error here, you're coming out with a 3-hour margin of error, then what is the point of asking in the hour? Now, let's think about another question. Suppose we wouldn't be able to pinpoint in time-space to this degree of accuracy. In other words, you could ask yourself, why does the Torah insist that we ask what hour? By giving Sheva Chakirot. We could still create a situation of Eidut She'atayachol Azima by having a sort of a vague placement, coordinates less accurate. And then the testimony of the Mazimim would have to be, how could you have given this testimony? You were with us in Majorca for that week. So that entire week, there is no margin of error, because wherever you were that entire week, you were with us. Then we don't need to know what hour. So in other words, the point is, as Rashi explains, the point over here is that the Torah is giving us, through insisting on Sheva Chakirot, the Torah is pinpointing the extent of accuracy that we need for Hazama. It's not that it's theoretically impossible to be mazin. Then I theoretically can be mazin them over a period of 50 years. How could you say during that yoga you saw this mice in Africa when you were with us in the North Pole for the past 50 years? You say, so it's not theoretically impossible to be mazin. But that's the point of that hakirot. The Torah defined we need to have hakirot within such and such an extent of the youth that even the hour would matter. Therefore, the Gemara asks, so if even the hour matters, once you're telling me that you have a 3-hour margin of error, then the hour doesn't matter anymore. So essentially, you're making a joke of the Torah's demand for Chakirot to be able to pinpoint testimony. So how do you explain now the Shita, the way Rav is approaching it? You've got this type of margin of error, you go completely outside of the hour as defined, which, remember, the way a buyer was defining it, you have either no margin of error, a Mashu margin of error, or a half an hour margin of error, all of which places you within the hour. But according to the way Rove is learning it, the hour is no longer meaningful. So how are you going to explain this according to Rove? So Chakirot, even after we define the exact hour, we're still stuck with an Eidut She'atayachol Ha'azimai. The Amri Mite Katainan. Because let's say the Mezimim come along and say, aha, you say it was at 11:30, but you were with us at 11:30. So, okay, so maybe it was 12:30. Maybe it was 9:30. I don't know. Approximately 11:30. According to Rava, that's what we do when it comes to comments. When it comes to the testimony earlier. And it says the Gemara, the Yahavina Lohukula to Utayu. We will be forced to say that even though the Chakirot are in terms of hours, they don't mean to pinpoint the Hazama to 1 hour. They pinpoint the Hazama to within the range of error of that hour. So the additional value of the hours is to say that we have at least a finer instrument than what day, and we can get to some range of hours. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, a range of 3 hours. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, a range of 2 hours. But the point is that we are closer to getting an exact placement in time space. So now that would mean, according to Rabbi Meir, Yavinu lo mitchila sha'ari shona ad sof chamesh. According to Rabbi Meir, in order to get both of these witnesses, we'd have to have them placed in a different location from the beginning of hour one until the end of hour five. The truth is that if we say 3 hours earlier and one guy started at two, that takes him into pre-daytime. So we should give him even that, but people don't mistake day and night, so there's no point in giving him that. So he may mistake what time it is, but he's certainly not going to mistake the difference between day and night. And therefore, we don't have to have the hazaman necessarily from the middle of the night before the alot hashachar. The Rebbe Yehuda, yavinu mitchila sha'ar rishona. According to Rebbe Yehuda, we've got 3 hours, so we start for the first hour until the sixth hour. The truth is, if the one guy said five, we ought to give him to the seventh hour, because he makes a mistake of 3 hours. But again, people don't mistake morning for afternoon. So b'dinu the native lemi koratvei. We're not going to start before the first hour. Ubedinu the naked the kamnetve, we should also give him a little bit margin of error after the afternoon, except that mechamesh chama b'mizrach v'shev chamesh b'chama b'marav. The difference is nobody's going to make a mistake of thinking the fifth hour, mistake to the seventh hour, is the seventh hour is the afternoon, so therefore, forget about what your watch says. How mad could you be? You can't make that kind of error.
And therefore, we would be mazamim even on a narrower range.
Yeah. We don't need to go beyond the noon, because you would know.
Less than the margin
even
said,
the margin of error decreases accordingly.
And we would be mazamim them.
Correct. Now, by the way, there are those who say, Alof Lamaisa, that when in periods in which people utilize watches and not astronomical data, that this whole halacha may be moot. Because nowadays people do know what time it is, and they wouldn't know the difference between morning and afternoon because they don't even notice there's a star up there.
What?
They don't notice the local star, you know. Yeah, that thing that... Okay, in any event...
How about night?
So in Akinami, at that point, folks could talk about that. How much of a diyuk we would say tefilat halayla, sof halayla, people know the difference between the various bishmarot halayla. Yeah, that's already, again, the Sanhedrin discussion. So it's not. Rabbi Meir Omer. Now, here's where we finally get to the rub, because obviously we've only brought this in because of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah allows for a certain margin of error to make the gezerah. In other words, whatever we need to worry, that people will confuse the time that they're at, the time of actual Sreifat Chametz, so they'll think it's still a time that they can eat Chametz. We made that gezerah. That boils down to the same issue of the margin of error, correct? Now, how are you going to fit in the Sig of Sanhedrin into our mission? Because in our mission, Rabbi Meir is not allowing a 2-hour margin of error. Rabbi Meir is not allowing a 3-hour margin of error. So let's explain our mission. That's not. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlim Kol Chamesh V'Sorfim B'Tchilat Sheish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ochlim Kol Arba Tolim Kol Chamesh V'Sorfim B'Tchilat Sheish. So now, let's take a look according to the way Abaye explained it. So Abaye, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Because Abaye holds that according to Rabbi Meir, there's no margin of error at all. Ein adam toev elo klum. They were talking about a semantical difference. One said 2, one said 3, meaning one was referring to the end of 2, one's referring. So then, if that's the case, why does Rabbi Meir make a gezerah in our Mishnah at all? You're telling me people know what time it is. When it comes, after all, testifying in court, they're able to say precisely what time it is. So if that's the case, when it comes to the question of when to eat their chametz, they know what time it is. Therefore, necho kula sheet. Why can't they eat the entire sixth hour and then start burning? They know what time it is, after all. Now, this is interesting, because Tosef says, when it says kula shit, this becomes an important issue later on, when it says kula shit, it doesn't mean literally kula shit, because you would have to start burning before the beginning of the seventh hour. Obviously, Tosef is taking for granted that the din of tashbitu is to get the chometz out of here before the seventh hour, not when the seventh hour arrives. Now start being tashbitu zormi batechem. Rashi learns the entire sixth hour, and then the seventh hour you begin burning. We'll see nafkaminas in this today yet, later on in the daf, about how to understand Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But in any event, according to Abaye, we should certainly allow you to eat either the whole sixth hour, according to Rashi, or almost the whole sixth hour, just leaving enough time to burn the chometz, according to Tosafot. And even according to the other Lashon Abaye, Lachlish, the Yomar Nami, Adam Toem Mashu, where we allow a little margin of error, and it wasn't semantics, it was an actual difference. Was it a few minutes? It was 2:59, or was it 3:01? Okay, so fine, you want to make sure that the people don't come to eat chametz at the wrong time. So, you want to add a little bit to say you can eat up to the end. You can only eat up to 5:59. You can't eat up to 6. Oh, very good. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye learns Rabbi Yehuda said on him to a chatzi sha'a. Fine. So tell him you can eat till 5:30. If you want to say the other lashon of Abaye, adam to a sha'a b'mashu, so then fine, eat until the end of the fifth hour. But why are you telling me that the entire fifth hour is usher in eating, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, after all, when it comes to testimony, says nobody's going to make a mistake like that. There's no mistake of 2 hours, the way Abaye was learning. Enters Abaye to support his shita. Look, don't ask questions from the sugya of testimony to the sugya of chametz. Edut misura lezrizim. People that come to testify are people that obviously take the situation seriously, know that they're going to have to stand up to interrogation in court, and therefore are careful to know what time it is, to the extent that they're capable of knowing what time it is astronomically. Chametz or chomasur, when it comes to the question of eating chametz, I mean, don't tell me that every old lady down the street knows exactly where the sun is and exactly what time it is. I mean, this is not the kind of person who would have come into court to testify. She knows they would have torn her to pieces, so she's going to come into court. Therefore, you're talking about two different groups of people. If you're dealing with an issue that is a common denominator to every person, then obviously, to take into consideration the potential of an error, we're going to have to include a broader potential for error. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, we go all the way back to the beginning of the fifth hour to Asr. According to Rabbi Meir, we go back to fourth hour. According to Rabbi Meir, we'll go back an hour less. But Lamaisa, everybody agrees, is a larger margin of error. Now, let's ask according to Rava. Rava said, according to Rabbi Meir, Adam to a shtei sha'ot choser mashal. So then, why doesn't Rabbi Meir agree that you can't eat from the beginning of the fifth hour? He says, because there's no way to make a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. Chometz becomes aser only at the beginning of the seventh hour, correct? No, but at the beginning of the seventh hour, the sun is already past its midpoint, obviously, and now there are significant shadows that are being cast towards the east. So the Chamah b'Ma'arav, who's going to make a mistake? I mean, you don't even need, you need a sundial, you need to stick your finger up in the sky. So what's the problem?
In the beginning of the seventh hour, noon? Or what's that? Beginning of the seventh hour is exactly what we call noon.
Yeah.
So you need even a minute later to cast
it? Well, we'll see. The Gemara actually views noon as the entire hour around noon. So, but Sheva, the Gemara is going to ask that. Sheva Chama B'Mara. So, I mean, I understand. If that's the case, if you're telling me I know the difference between the moment that it's afternoon and the moment that's before noon, why can't I eat in the sixth hour? Because I know the difference between the end of the morning and the beginning of the afternoon. So let me eat now. B'shit Naminecho. Omer Avada Barava. Shit Yuma B'Karnata Koi. The point is that around noon, you have the sun almost overhead. And therefore, no, people are not going to be that medayic because the shadows are almost directly underneath. They can't really tell precisely where it is. So there they could make a mistake. And Mamela, Rabbi Meir, is medayic there to keep people away from noon. Verova, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And what about according to Rabbi Yehuda, where there is a three-hour difference? So then why don't we start at the beginning of the fourth hour? And say, don't eat even from the fourth hour, because after all, between the seventh and the fourth hour is 3 hours. You're saying that people can make a 3 hour mistake. Well, can't really make, I mean, even at the fifth hour, Chama b'Mizrach, Sheva v'Chama b'Mara, the Koshke Marva, I mean, the fourth hour is like really morning. How could somebody think that afternoon is early morning? You've got to be crazy. So nobody would make that mistake. You could say the same thing about the fifth hour. Nobody's going to make the mistake that the fifth hour, which is early morning, the beginning of the fifth hour, who's going to make a mistake when it's already afternoon to think it's the beginning of the fifth hour? So Yochi b'chamish, b'chamish nami nefa. Tir gemar abaya libe de Rava. So again, Abaya says, look, Rava's also going to have to admit that edut misural is rezim, whereas chomich l'kol masur, and again, the little old lady down the street, maybe he doesn't think in those terms. Rava himself said, no. The truth is, Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with the gzera here of making a mistake, because there is no gzera. If the time is afternoon, why would we need to make a gzera not to eat in the morning, because somebody's going to think the afternoon is the morning? Nobody thinks the afternoon is the morning. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda said that we need to make a gzera to Aser earlier is because Rabbi Yehuda is going l'shitato, he holds ein biur chametz elas reitha. According to him, you need to get rid of your chametz specifically through burning. In which case, we need time to do that. So Yavul Rabbanon Shachar Lilkod Baitzim. Therefore, the Rabbanon gave an additional hour to see to it that you get your fire ready. Esvei Ravina L'Rava. Ravina said to Rava, Rav Yehuda doesn't hold that the time that you need to do Sreifa on Chametz necessarily. Depends when in the day. Because Rav Yehuda himself explained, Omer Rav Yehuda Ematai Shalo Bisha'at Biurov. When do I say that there needs to be biur chametz? And it has, in other words, biur literally, that it has to be at the time that, an actual fire. That's dafka shalo b'sha'at biuro. That's only at the beginning of the sixth hour, because the sixth hour over there, when he arrives, it's still mutter to eat it. But once it's sha'at biuro, this is how Rashi learns. Once it's sha'at biuro, and this is why I said we're going to see later on in the day, and that's now, but the machlok is Rashi and Tosfos that we had previously about whether you'd be allowed to eat the entire sixth hour, start from the beginning of the seventh hour. Actually, it makes a big nafkamina. Here is where it makes a big nafkamina. If according to Rashi, the Zman of Bir Chometz is seven, then it would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Shalom B'Shat B'Yuro is before seven. So during the sixth hour, it still is not a chiyuv to be Mevayer. So over there, since I could still be nena from it, at that point, I would say that enoch inami, the Torah wants you to burn your chametz. Because it's not interested in the immediacy. You get the chametz no matter what it takes. Mashenkin, once it's already the seventh hour, so then the Torah insists, just get rid of your chametz. Forget, I don't care, just get rid of it. Flush down the toilet bowl. What are you taking your time about making fires? Flush, man. So that would be the way Rashi's understanding it. So then the Gemara would be asking, what's the point of specifically demanding that the guy goes ahead and gets an extra hour to collect a fire and make it go so that he can burn his chametz in time? All he has to do is not burn his chametz in time, wait until the seventh hour, and then flush it down the toilet bowl. Because then there's no more mitzvah sreifa. So what's the big rush over here? That's how Rashi works. Tosfos says that doesn't make sense. First of all, remember that according to Tosfos, you have to get rid of your chametz before the time that it now becomes awesome. Because tashbitu sa'armi batechem means see to it that there is no sa'or in your house at the beginning of the time of the Yisr. Therefore, secondly, if there's a mitzvah sreikat chametz kodem l'zman b'yuro, why would that be according to Rashi? Why am I burning something that I can eat? It doesn't even make sense. But assuming that there is such a thing, so why wouldn't I want to be the guy in that mitzvah, whatever it is? The whole thing is crazy, says Tosfos. Therefore, the Gemara must mean the exact opposite. Shalom b'shat b'yuro. According to me, means when it's already too late. Where now you no longer got rid of your chametz on time. So if you didn't get rid of your chametz when you should have, in other words, after now the sixth hour over here, so most people have already burned the way they're supposed to, which is the sixth hour before the seventh, in order to see to it that you get rid of your chametz in time. After all, the whole basis was the limud from notar, says Tosfos. So therefore, but the bishat b'yuro, over there, there's no mitzvah to be mevayer midyoraita yet. It's bishat b'yuro during the sixth hour. That's only d'rabbanan. The rabbanan weren't mechayev you to burn it necessarily. Once the Torah says, "What are you doing?" then the Torah can tell you how to do it. So, I mean, what's the Torah going to ask you before the seventh hour, before it became awesome? God's going to turn to you and say, "What are you going to do about that chametz, man? How come you're not doing something? Relax. I may still eat it. Maybe some guests will come. You never know. What are you shouting at me for?" So the Tinder Abanan is that, okay, but see to it that you don't come to a matzah. Look, however you'll see to it. Either you'll eat it or you'll flush it down the toilet or whatever. Once it becomes already asur, now the Torah says, get that chametz out of here. Just like it said by notar. After the notar became asur, then the Torah says, you want sreifa. The basis, as we'll see later, of Enbiur chametz al sreifa is notar. So how would we have a notar in advance? As does on Rashi also. The whole thing just doesn't seem to make sense. Okay, so we have opposite approaches, Rashi and Tosfos, to what Shlomo b'Shat B'yuro. We'll see more about this, obviously, when we get to the main sugya of the Machlokas. Continues the Gemara. Eis ve'Ravina l'Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda, imatai Shlomo b'Shat B'yuro, v'Shat B'yuro, hashpatato b'chol davar. So now, if Rav Yehuda is masking that hashpatato b'chol davar, why is Rava saying we give him extra time to burn? Hello, Amar Rava, gzera mishum yoma mi'unan. You're absolutely correct. People won't make a mistake in such a clear-cut astronomical fact as where the sun is. However, you may have noticed that this is sort of a cloudy planet. Sometimes you can't even see your local star. So you might get lost in time. And being lost in time, we've got to give you a little bit of extra leeway there. So then, wait a minute. If it's so nice and dark, so that even 4 hours in the morning, I mean, maybe you'll get confused and you'll think that it's still early morning. So why don't we ask her sha'ar of the eve? And say, look, you never know, it might already be in the afternoon. So Arbashal Damilo Necho, Amr of Papa, because everybody eats then. And your tummy tells you what time it is. There's other ways, exactly. There's other ways to know what time it is. So since that's the norm of your eating, so you have biological markers. Tanarabana, actually there's a braita which we had back in Brachot about norms for breakfast time. So Sha'ari Shonam Achal Ludim. The first hour in the day, only a cannibal eats in an hour like that. Shniya machalistim. Listen, a guy who's busy all night long burglarizing everybody's home gets himself a little bit of sleep early in the morning, you know, and then gets the food. Shlishit machal yorshim. The third hour, by the way, we measure this not by the actual hours of the day. We measure it by biological hours.
From when they wake up?
From when you wake up. This was said at a time when people would wake up with the sun. But in terms of halacha l'maaseh, about being makbid when you eat breakfast, and so on, as we'll see. We paskin that it has to do with when you wake up. They're busy burglarizing. But they're also hungry kind of people. They're too tired to eat at the end of the night. So they get an hour's nap, and then they go to work eating. The third hour, Ma'achal Yorshim. The third hour is for heirs, people who don't have to work for their money. And so, you know, why not have an early morning breakfast? Revi'it Ma'achal Po'alim. Fourth hour is for people who have to go out and work. Chamishit Ma'achal Tamidei Chachamim. And Shishit Ma'achal Kol Adam. Now, none of this makes sense because Rav Papa said Revi'it Zman Su'da Lakoli. So we've got a mistake, therefore, in this bright. It should say, Revi'it Ma'achal Kol Adam, Chamishit Ma'achal Po'alim, which, as we know, is Arukat Eser, because these people will grab a bite early in the morning, get out early to offer their services out by Shashkem, and then, after you start working a little, as is the norm here, you take a break and you eat at about 10. And Shishit Ma'achal Tamidei Chachamim have been busy learning. Mikan ve'elach, eat after the sixth hour, and it's kizorek even lechemat. It's like throwing a stone into an empty barrel, which means either it's damaging, it's not healthy, or that it's not going to give you any more nourishment. And this is basically the source of the advertisement on all of the cereals. As we know, a good breakfast makes the difference for the whole day. Each one says it over in their own way. The most important meal of the day. There you go. You don't want to be all day long like an empty barrel putting in just stones, do you? So therefore, eat Cheerios. Om Rabbi, lo amina lo toim mi debitzafra. This deal that you have to eat before that sixth hour is only if you didn't have at least a cup of coffee in the morning. Av lo toim mi debitzafra less tamba. It's no longer damaging. If you had a little something in the morning, then even if you eat later in the day, it's either not damaging or, as Rashi says, zorekam lechemat could mean it just doesn't do you any good. Om Ravashi, ke machloket be'edut kach machloket b'chametz. Now Ravashi, just on his own, not as part of this sugya, said that the machloket about testimony is the same as the machloket in chametz. Well, isn't that obvious? Pshita, I know our family, it's what we've been talking about the whole time, that you can't have two sugyas here that have different senses of what a margin of an error is. Well, the mashmalan, all Ravashi was trying to say is that shinuyah, that shanina, shinuyah. That actually, you might have thought that all of these sort of weird answers of Rav and Abaye about, you know, the difference between Zrizim and the old lady, or the Yom HaMa'unan or whatever, that's a little bit, you know, iffy. Isn't it more likely that there's really two Shitot in Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir, with different margins of error? Let's bite the bullet, except that there were two different Tanoim, I'll leave it then. So, Kamash Blan, that Shinina, Shanina, Shinuyehu, that the answers offered above are not considered to be the Chukim. Velo Tema Tanoye, and you shouldn't be forced into the position of saying that there are two different approaches to the Machlokes Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir. Om Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Lo Shanu Ela B'Sha'ot. This is only true when the reference was to the time of the day. But, there you go. But, if Echad Omer Kodam Anetzachama, Echad Omer Achar Anetzachama, if one of them mentions an actual phenomenon, so he says it was before sunrise, the other one says after sunrise, but then we're not talking about hours, then we're talking about something that you saw. I mean, obviously there you're going to have a contradiction. The Eid is Botel. Obviously that's true. The point is that I'm saying suppose one of them said it was before sunrise, the other one said it was during sunrise, even then Eid is Botel. No. I mean, it's also obvious. I'm not Pshita. But not necessarily, because there I could say it's basically a semantic issue. I mean, maybe Tarvayo Chadam Yota Kamri, they're both saying the same thing. Hada Kamri Betoch Anitzachama, the guy who said, well, it was during sunrise, he was referring to the earliest rays of the sun coming up there. And he said, well, it was like the very beginning. So he says it during sunrise. So he was talking about the Gului HaVekoi. So he was standing in an exposed position where he could see the rays of the sun. Vizihuruni Be'amudachaza. And he saw reflections in the upper atmosphere of the sun. He called that sunrise. Again, technically speaking, that's not sunrise. It's really Amud HaShachar. But then, you know, the guy's not being careful with his language. Kamash Malan, then, no. We assume that when a person refers to an astronomical phenomena, he identifies it accurately. And one of them is therefore saying it's at one time of the day, and one at the other, and it's Mukhesh. They can't go back and now explain. Well, what I meant was, I mean, that's Kivan Shigid, Shuvin HaKozer HaMagid, tough. You just were Mavato, your testimony. Fast review. Therefore, it says, Rava Eloma, Rava, the Divrei Meir Adam Torah Shtei Shot Chasamash, the Divrei Biyud Adam Torah Shalosh Shot Chasamash, the Divrei Meir Adam Torah Shtei Shot Chasamash, because Maaseke Havi could be either B'tkilat Shtai or B'sof Shalosh, V'chad B'nai Katoy Shtei Shot Chasamash, the Divrei Biyud Adam Torah Shalosh Shot Chasamash, the event was or B'tkilat Shalosh or B'sof Chamesh, and one of them is Katoy Shalosh Shot Chasamash, but we never assume that both are making a mistake. Now, are you botkinotan b'sheva chakirot? Beis shavua, beis shana, beis chadash, b'kamba b'chadash. Beis yom, beis shah, beis mokam. It's not. Ma bein chakirot l'vdikot chakirot, amar achad meyem eni yodei edutan b'teva. Vdikot afil shneyem o meyem eni yodei edutan kayeb. Vavina ba, ma ishna chakirot, ma ishla b'dikot. Vyamrinan, wait. Vyamrinan, Ve'amrinan chakira samreta me'meni yodei edutan b'tela davila edut shiata yochala azima b'dikot edut shiata yochala azima ibi amre to yinchi kulei hai even chakirot v'ezushan is also edut shiata yochala azima da amre mite kataina answers the Gemara the avinu lakulutu utayu we spread it out to say imanu hayitem that entire period including the margin of error period which would be the Rabbi Meir yavinu l'mitfilat shari shana at Sof Chamei. Truth is, of course, we should have given them an hour before the Shari Shana, but the point is, Ben Yimam al Alayli al Oto Inche. Well, the Rabbi Yehuda Yavin al Mitchila Shari Shana at Sof Shishit, even though we should start earlier and end later, but Dinu de Natal of Meikar Tvei, except as we said, Ben Yimam al Alayli al Oto Inche, and Bedinu de Natal of the Kamei Tvei, but also B'Chamesh Chama B'Mizrach, B'Shev Chamesh B'Marah. It's not. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlam Kol Chomesh Sorbet Chilat Shesh. Rabbi Yudah Omer Ochlam Kol Arba. Tonam Kol Chomesh Sorbet Chilat Shesh. So La Abai Elibin Rabbi Meir Don Omer Ein Adam Toev Lo Klum. Why can't we allow him to eat Kula Shesh? Well, Ahach L'Shanam Yoram Toev Mashu. At least Nechalat Sob Shesh. Abai Elibin Rabbi Yudah Omer Toev Chatsi Sha'as. Nechalat Palgat Shesh. Lahach L'Shanam Yoram Toev Sha'u Mashu. Nechalat Sof Chamesh. But why Arba? Amr Abaye, that's because Edut Misra Lizrizim, whereas Chametz Lekol Masur. Okay, what about Rava? Rava, Libet the Rabbi Meir, don't amount to Shtei Shaot Chasamashu. So then we should not allow him to eat from the beginning of the fifth hour. Ah, Chamesh Chamot the Mizraf, Sheva Chamot the Marav. So then Yochi Beshit Nami Necho. Amr Abaye, Marav, Beshit, it's already close enough, he can make a mistake, because Yume the Karnata Koi. Rava, Libet the Rabbi Yudah, the Amr Adam to Shalosh Shaot Chasamashu. Mitchilat arba lo neichal, but that's because chamesh chama b'mizrach v'sheva chama b'marav. Koshikin b'arba. Well, if that's the case, b'chamesh nami neichal. Tirgam Abaye Alibi the Rav Eidut Misra Lizrizim chametz v'kol masur. Whereas Rava says, actually, lav ayin time in the Rabbi Yehuda anyway. Rabbi Yehuda is going l'shitas omer and biur chametz al sreifa yavel rabbanu shachat lilkot ba'itzim. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda has Rava om Rabbi Yehuda matay shelo b'shat biuro. So why bother? Hello, my Rabbi, Zerah Misham Yom HaMu'unan. If that's the case, Afilu Bar Rasha Odnami Lo Necho Omrev Baba. Everybody knows Sha'arba because it's Man Sudala Kodi. Tana Rabban and Shari Shana Machaludim Shnei Machalistim Shlishit Machal Yoshim Reviit Machal Poalim Chamishit Machal Tabidei Chachamim Shishit Machal Kol Adama. Didn't we just say Reviit? Zvam Sudala Koli? April, sorry. Revit Machal Koladam. Chamishit Machal Poalim, Shishit Machal Tamidei Chachamim. Mikan Ve'elech, Kizorek Evin Lechibad. Omer Abai Eloam, and also Lotoy Bina Bitzafa, Toy Bina Bitzafa Lefan Ba. Omer Abai Shi, Ke Machloket Be'idut, Kach Machloket Be'chamet. I should hope so. I know I've done Mina. Well, okay, Mashman, Shinu the Shinu, 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 Volotei Matanoi. Omer Abai Shimi Barashi, Loshana Lubishaot, אבל אחד אומר קודם נצח חמה ואחד אומר אחר נצח חמה אין עוד אין בטלה אני שואל אופסה פשיטה וואה אמנט אחד אומר קודם נצח חמה ואחד אומר בתוך הנצח חמה אין עוד אין בטלה לא נעמי פשיטה אמרת אתם את הווה אחד אני עוד הקאמר ועוד הקאמר בתוך הנצח חמה just meant that he was בגילוי אבקוי וזערו רבי עמוד הכוחוס and he's calling it in the middle of the נצח חמה כמה שבלם it's too late for that